There's a passage in Romans, the 15th chapter, that it's just so full of meat. It has such a wonderful message to it. And I want to read Romans 15, verses 1 through 6. Then I want to go back and look at each one of those, or 1 through 7, and look at each one of those verses because they're so rich. In Romans 15, starting at verse 1. Now, before we read, we had recently in one of our classes talked about Romans 14, where we are to indulge one another in the eating of meats and in festival days. And it talks about the weaker brethren and those that are stronger in the faith and how we're to accommodate those. So this is what is leading up to this passage that I'm going to read. And this kind of helps understand that a little bit more also. In chapter 15, it says, "Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength, and not just please ourselves. Let each one of us please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as if it was written, 'The reproaches of those who reproached thee fell upon me.' For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, and that through perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant to you, be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, accept one another, just as also Christ accepted us to the glory of the Father." Now look back at verse 1. It talks about how that we who are strong ought to bear the weakness of those without strength and not just please ourselves. We are to bear the weaknesses of those others. And it talks about those without strength. You know, we all struggle from time to time. We become strengthened at times, and sometimes we fall into some problems and we get weak spiritually. Well, those that are strong, which I consider everyone here should be strong, but we can always look to one another to strengthen each other. Especially if we see a brother struggling, or if he's having spiritual doubts, or he's struggling with his a weakness that he's fighting. We ought to bear that up. And what does bear mean? It means put their burden on me. We're to bear it. We're to bear their weaknesses. We're to bear their lack of strength. And be there for them. And we might think, well, that's a pretty hard thing to do, isn't it? But look what is told us. We are to do these things and not please ourselves. Think about this. Where does God come in our pleasing lineup? We are to please God first. We are to put God first in our lives. But here it's telling us to please others first, ahead of ourselves. We are to please others and bear their strength. And then down the line, we can please ourselves. But this is God, others, and us. In verse 2, it says, "Let each one please his neighbor for his good to his edification." So we're to please others, including our neighbor, to his good, to his edification. This is meaning we don't look inward to ourselves. Well, what's going to please me? We don't look inward. We look outward to our neighbors. What is good for him? What can encourage him? What can we do for her to encourage and be an edification to one another? That's looking not within, but without. In verse 3, for even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached thee fell upon me. So, we can see here, Christ did not please himself, but others. Question, are we better than our masters? Christ didn't please others. Shouldn't we be the same way? What if Christ did please himself? Do you think he would have gone to the cross? No. He wanted to please others. You know who they are? You and me. That's the others he wanted to please. So when it comes our turn, we are to please others as Christ pleased others. In verse 4, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, that through the perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. Think about the things that were written in former times, earlier times. They were written for our instruction. Think of the Old Testament. Think of all of the old stories that were written for us. For our perseverance, for our encouragement. And in the New Testament, these are also written for our encouragement and perseverance. You know, God has gone through a lot of trouble to save the Word, to inspire the Word, to have it written, to have it saved, that we can have it here on this podium tonight. He has gone through a lot of trouble. What are we going to do with this? Let's glean from that and apply it to our lives. And what will that result in? Hope. If we but put this into action, it encourages, helps us through perseverance, and at the same time will deliver hope for us. And the other passage says, hope does not disappoint. Verse 5. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant to you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus. As we just stated, that with the perseverance and encouragement come from God, and that from God he will grant us to be of the same mind with each other. What mind? According to Christ Jesus. What about that? It's according to his teaching. If we believe in Christ, we are going to have the same mind. And number 6, what should that bring about? That with one accord, you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have the same mind in verse 5. Now we're going to be able to speak with one accord. And we are going to speak with one voice. The mind, the voice, the working together. And what is the purpose of that? It is to glorify our Father. You see how this is a natural revelation or natural connecting of the dots of a logical sequence that's taking place here? And, we can start building up in the peak of this is to glorify our Heavenly Father. That's what it's about. And when we do that in this congregation, there is true unity. And God, when there's true unity, God is glorified. And then in verse 7, whatever, therefore, accept one another as Christ also accepted us to the glory of the Father. We are to accept one another, Doesn't matter the education, financial, whether we jobs we have, we are to accept one another. And why? Because Christ accepted us. And by accepting us, it glorified the Father. And this passage ends again. The result would be to glorify our Father. So, is what we have just noticed, it starts by pleasing others and not ourselves. It comes through the Scriptures and applies to our lives to strengthen and encourage us and to those around us that we're putting others, pleasing others and encouraging others. And if everyone is doing that, we are united with one another, with one voice. God is glorified. This is our purpose, in fact, is to glorify God. You know, this is what really we have been created to do. We've been created to glorify our Father by serving Him, by being His child. He wants a family. And when we can glorify our Father, it is what we have been created for. And we are glorifying our Father because we want to, not because we have to. We're glorifying our Father because of His love, and we understand that and want to glorify Him because He is the things He's done for us. So we started out by not pleasing ourselves, but you know what? In the end, we end up pleasing ourselves. You know why? Because we have pleased our Heavenly Father. When we please our Heavenly Father, it will be pleasing to us. If you want to please God, obey Him. If you want to obey the gospel, do that. If you have things that are in your life that you want to made right, that's pleasing to God. It will glorify God in repentance. And if this appeals to you, it will unify us by doing that. Come as we stand and sing.